This week's Walking Dead feedback show is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Here's some useful tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter with a little bit of olive oil can help you clean your interior. Removing excess weight from the back of your car is going to improve your gas mileage. And you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are weird tips. Here's a tip that's not so weird. True Car is also going to help people get a used car as well. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying new cars. Gone are the days where you had to just rely on Father Gabriel to get you a good deal. No, with the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, even if Father Gabriel can't, so they know if they're getting a good deal before they buy. And you're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 11 is still over, but we're just getting started answering feedback questions here on the Walking Dead Feedback Show on post-show recaps. And now here's you guys ready to debate. Would you rather have tomatoes or peppers in your omelet? I am Rob Sisner here with Josh Wigler. Josh, how are you?
Is this a debate? I mean, it's peppers, right? Like, I feel like peppers is the winner here by a pretty wide margin.
Is it red peppers or green?
Well, once you're getting into that, like, I don't know, because I don't love a cooked red pepper.
I love it. I hate a green cooked pepper. I only like red peppers, and I like them because they're so similar to tomatoes. So it's a real catch-22 for me.
So you want a tomato and red pepper omelet is what you're looking for.
Yes, that's good. We're getting close to sauce at that point. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good sauce, like but salsa. I don't know if I want it in my omelet. I think that, like, I would go with a green pepper that is only lightly cooked, mostly raw. I really like the raw pepper. It's really underrated, I think, as a crudité.
Okay. All right. Well, enough of that. We will talk about now The Walking Dead. No more pepper
Very
talk.
Very spicy introduction to this podcast this week.
Yes. Yes. Episode 11 of Season 8, Dead or Alive or whatever.
Or this is a bad title for an episode.
Yeah, it really is. I think it should have been or ... at the very least.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. It looks weird on paper. I mean, I guess it's dead or alive or what does he say? Whatever the hell is in between. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, setting up the punchline. But I guess it's a good line from Negan. But is it so good that you have to make the title of your episode a knock knock joke? I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So, Josh, a lot to discuss from this week's episode. After next Sunday or after this Sunday, we will be halfway through the back half, 75% of the way through Season 8 of The Walking Dead.
That's wild. Yeah, we're still in the thick of the all-out war, still picking apart the wreckage of what happened to poor Carl. And there's so much business still to attend to with this conflict that is brewing between Savior and Alexandrian.
Yes. Okay, Josh, so on Sunday night, Jessica, Lisa, and I recapped the episode, and this is the first that you and I are getting to talk about it, and I did get to watch The Talking Dead this week.
Yes, again, just to reiterate, my favorite part of the week outside of the wand off is getting The Talking Dead update. What happened? What happened on The Talking Dead?
Yeah, so The Talking Dead was a little fun this week. They had on a...
Feels like an uptick from where it's been for you in the past.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I think the part of the thing that helped was there was a comedian, Steve Agee. I don't really know him from anything, but he seemed to be friendly with Chris Hardwick. And I always feel like that's what you need to sort of lighten the mood on The Talking Dead, because you had the co-executive producer, Denise Huth. She's on quite a bit. And Dr. Conway, everybody was dying to hear from, oh, what does Dr. Conway think about this episode?
Oh, Dr. Carson?
Whatever. Yeah, Carson.
Just going to leave
that in
there. I keep
calling him Conway. Yes, that's fine.
You know, I had a friend when I was a kid, last name Conway, and Dr. Carson kind of looks like a grown up version of what I imagine Mr. Conway may have grown up to be. So I'm on board with the name change. He's gone. There's no one to dispute the record anyway.
Right. And so he was gone, and, you know, but he was such a nothing character. I don't know why they have these guys on the Talking Dead. Like, it's like, oh my God, I got to hear from that guy. And then, you know, but the guy who was the comedian, Steve, he was pretty funny, and he had, I think you like somebody that'll sort of like, get the production people on the ropes a little bit. Like, hey, how come this is like this? And don't just like toe the company line.
Right, that's probably the Talking Dead episode that AMC likes the least. Mm-hmm. But in terms of its effectiveness for the viewer, for entertainment value, that is something that you desire.
Right, right. I mean, I just watched a serious show for an hour. Let's, you know, sort of lighten the mood a little bit.
Do we want to call this a serious show?
Well, they treat it very serious.
They take it very
seriously.
There's
not a lot of humor on The Walking Dead.
Not a lot. Not enough. Yeah. Certainly not enough.
Once in a while.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, Josh, so a lot of things going on in this episode. I guess the centerpiece was this storyline between Gabriel and Dr. Carson. And so Father Gabriel looked like he had everything going his way, only to have the rug pulled out from under him. What was your take on this whole storyline?
Well, before we got on here, you and I were talking about how it feels like we watched this episode of The Walking Dead like 5,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. It feels so far away. I think that this was one of the most boring episodes of The Walking Dead I've ever watched.
Yes.
When your A story is Father Gabriel and Dr. Carson, you know you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like you know that this show being 16 episodes a season is just, it's an outrageous ask. It's too much to ask, too tall an order. That being said, like, there's something of the man of science versus man of faith quality that I like to it. Although the man of science, the moment he decides to become a man of faith, just gets blasted. So what's the moral of the story there? Don't have too much faith in the world of the dead. I suppose I was sort of sad for Dr. Conway, as we like to call him now around these parts.
That don't being, say the wrong name. That's only going to confuse me.
Okay. Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson. So not Mr. Carson.
You know, I would just love to talk about like what happened to Gabriel, because you know, you and I talked about at the time, like, is he bit? And it turned out that he's not bit, but he's gotten some sort of an infection from the zombie guts, but it's not an infection that is turning him into a zombie. Like, he's just somehow gotten sick, which I didn't know that this was like a third thing that happens to you. I thought it's either you put the guts on, you're safe, or you turn into a walker, or I didn't know there's like an intermediary phase where you can kill the zombie infection with antibiotics.
I don't feel like that's what's happening, right? Like, I got to imagine that Gabriel is still on borrowed time, that like he's still dying from the infection. It's just maybe slower than if you were scratched or bit or something like that. Like, if he survives this, I'm going to be shocked.
No, I don't think he's going to survive that. I think he will die, but not from this. Like, he may not, like, I don't know what's going to, like, because he seems like he wants to die. But I think that this is, from what I understand, and they talked about this on The Talking Dead with the co-executive producer, Denise Huth. She talked about how, yeah, the zombie guts, like, it's real. Like, people talk about, like, why don't they just do this all the time? Well, that stuff is really dirty and nasty. And Chris Hardwick joked about how it's like fecal matter.
That's a funny joke, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. And he was like cracking up about that. And so that there's like, it's, I think that they're just alluding to the fact that this stuff is really dirty. And then you can get sick from it. I think that Negan even alluded to it in terms of when they were putting it on. And so sort of putting that out there. But nobody else in the history of the show has ever come down with this type of condition.
Yeah, we've never seen this before. We've only seen like walker gore and walker contact leading to outright death. Mm-hmm. So for this to be kind of like you're saying, like this intermediary stage, like if you're not going to die from this, if this is not a lethal terminal condition or even a terminus condition, that feels that feels really far away from the like the core premises that we know of, like the ways in which the zombie lore works.
Right.
So I'll be a little frustrated, to be honest, if Father Gabriel doesn't like outright die from this infection. What I could see is that this like way of ingesting the infection of like of coming down with the sickness takes longer than if you were to be bitten outright. And it's just like a slower burn, a slower build. That being said, in real time, has it been a long period of time since Father Gabriel got sick in the first place? Has it been much longer than like 2 days at maximum?
Yeah, who knows? Who can tell?
Like, hard to say.
It's really hard to say. Just a couple of questions and comments on this from you guys. This really killed me. Jeff Davis sent us an email, and he sent me a screenshot of Father Gabriel with his blurry vision from this episode. And he wrote, "Is it just me, or does Father Gabriel's POV look like it was shot in sphincter view?"
Oh, that's brutal. That's brutal. Somewhere out there, Chris Hardwick listening to this and cracking up. Big fan of that joke.
He's dead.
No, I think he's alive. He's fine.
And then also, this was a question that was from Andrew, who talked about, "So I'm not buying this plan of the zombie gut encrusted weapons transmitting the disease. On Fear the Walking Dead, Nick is constantly walking around with zombie guts all over him. And you mean to tell me he's never had so much as a pre-existing scratch? Also, people are constantly getting sprayed with zombie guts each time they kill one. And by the chance, you'd think that some of them would have turned into zombies via small open cuts. Thanks, Andrew. P.S. When's the naked zombie coming? Or did I miss it?" I don't think we missed it.
Unless there was a naked zombie in the swamp.
Oh, maybe. But I think they would have called more attention. I think that Chris Hardwick would have, in the opening monologue of Talking Dead, like, "Oh, and we had a naked walker. What's up with that? We'll talk about it." He would not have missed it. So he will do 20 minutes on the Talking Dead about the naked walker. But that being said, and I'll be here for it. But
yes, Josh, you'll be all the way in.
It's weird that we have these two different things going on, of that Father Gabriel got sick somehow from being around the walker guts, but also that Negan is going to weaponize the zombie guts and put them on weapons so that they can turn people. But it seems like that if you hit somebody with this weapon, if they take the antibiotics, maybe they're not going to get the full on infection. Maybe they'll just get sick. So I feel like this is
But that's assuming a surplus of antibiotics. Like, that's assuming like an unbeatable pile of pills that all of these people will be able to take. Like, if enough people get sick, that's going to be an enormous problem and they're not going to be able to fix it. So I think that like, even if this infection takes a long time to like fully take hold, I still think that the amount of people that they could impact with the germ warfare, I think is still so great that it could really be a turn against the Alexandrians. Like, it could really be a very, very bad deal for these guys.
Mm-hmm. And then, do you feel like that this is a smart play by Negan?
Yeah, I mean, if he has limited amount of ammunition, the thing is, like, he was so eagerly putting Lucille and the guts together. And for me, I'm standing there and I'm watching this. I don't know why I'm standing while I'm watching The Walking Dead, but I guess I'm standing while I'm watching The Walking Dead. I'm looking at the show and he's got his wooden bat now covered in blood. And it's like, that's going to be difficult to clean out. You're really going to have a hard time.
He walks
cleaning
around
Lucille
with it everywhere. I mean, presumably it's in his room. It's like, now, you know, we've established that this stuff is so toxic, not to mention kind of smelly.
Very.
That, you know, Negan is everywhere with that bat.
He likes the smell. You know?
Right. Like, you would think
like
that,
a very manly smell.
Yes. If anything, you would think that Negan would have like a zombie guts Lucille and like a regular Lucille, and like regular Lucille he brings around with him. Although regular Lucille is kind of already covered in dead person guts to begin with. So I guess.
Right.
It's
no,
not-
I guess like maybe he has a method of cleaning the bat, and I don't know.
He has like one of those like barbershop things where he like stores Lucille in like the blue water overnight and takes it out in the morning.
Yeah, that's Eugene's secret number one priority. That's just too boring to air on television. I'm sure they'll put out a web series about it. Eugene coming up with the correct chemicals to keep Lucille, nice and spick and span.
I do believe that I have Deacon's baseball bat in a solution that is conceivably realistic, even though in factuality it is indeed aqua velva.
It is water soluble. I don't know if that is really the right term to use right now, but it sounded smart.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what Negan is planning for everything that's going on.
I think, like, in terms of, like, does it make any sense? Like, are the rules of it, like, really fair within the world of Walking Dead? Maybe not, but it could lead to some interesting story material if, like, if Negan and the Saviors make it to the hilltop and they, like, really just do a number on our heroes, that could be a very dark turn in this big war. And we're kind of waiting for, like, the next dramatic shoot a drop at this point. So I liked Eugene's idea of just, like, loading up a catapult with body parts. That was
what was that going to do, though?
They're just going to launch it over the walls and, like, with such force that it would basically be like tossing a boulder at a castle. I don't know. Very medieval.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Bethany has a question about Rick's eyes. She says, you know that scene with Rick sitting by the tree, bloody with the red eyes? Here's my theory. His red eyes are not from crying, but possibly from getting infected, kind of like what happened to Gabriel's eyes.
Ooh.
Maybe he's slightly infected, but Sadiq will treat and save him, or all the Saviors are going to get infected from playing in the guts, LOL.
Do you think that anyone is going to miss Dr. Carson now that Sadiq is in town? Like, will his death be acknowledged at all? Will there ever be, like, a scene where Maggie's like, oh, poor Dr. Carson, he's gone. He was supposed to help me. Or is that just going to be completely yada yada past now that Sadiq is in the mix?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. No one will actually miss the man, Dr. Carson. It's like, we have got some bad news. Dr. Carson's like, no, not Dr. Carson. But we do have some good news. We have found another complete stranger who happens to have practiced medicine. Oh, thank God.
Okay. And some better news. Dr. Carson wrote letters to all of you.
Yes.
And that shall fuel the narrative of the back half of the season.
Yes.
So are we wondering if red-eyed Rick is infected a la Father
Gabriel?
You're buying
that.
It's interesting. I mean, I kind of... We certainly know that he's at least bleeding out at the same time. So, like, is he infected and he's been shot? That seems like a raw deal for Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the case, because we have that image of him against the tree bleeding from the side. So it looks like he's been shot or stabbed, or maybe bitten is not impossible. And then is the red-eyed look in addition to that, in conjunction with that, in conjunctivitis with that? Hard to say. Hard to know.
The real question is Rick seeing in sphincter vision?
poor Rick. He really doesn't need that. He's got so much going on right now that I don't think that he doesn't need that happening to his eyes. It's really kind of triggering to see all these people with their eye problems on the
you
show
don't like
right
it.
Now.
You don't like
yeah,
that.
I have a big eye phobia, so this has been difficult for me to watch for the past little while. Maybe that's part of why I really put Dead or Alive or out of my mind. Because I can't handle Father Gabriel's eyes. Just as I was getting back in on Father Gabriel, he had to go and get conjunctivitis. It's very bad.
Okay. Miguel has a question. He says, is anyone under Negan's direct command still actively invested in him as their leader? Everyone in his inner circle under his direct supervision is either dead, missing, or a traitor. Simon is openly defying him. Gavin and Fat Joe got smoked. Regina and Laura are MIA. Dwight jumps sides and is a double agent. Eugene let Dr. Carson and Father G go free and now is doing who knows what. And on top of that, the captured Saviors are at the hilltop and ready to flip for a quarter ration. How is he still in power? Thanks a lot for the weekly podcast. A loyal TWD GOT, Mr. Robot and Star Trek listener. That's from Miguel. What a nice email.
Wow, that's a great email. Negan did a spot of bother, as some like to say. He's in a little bit of trouble. I do think that he has a personnel problem. The big turn for me is that, like, Simon does not seem to be Team Negan anymore, right? Like, everything that he did to the garbage people and the heapsters and the scavengers or whatever you want to call them, who you have to assume also see in sphincter vision, though we've never been given their POV. I feel like the second that he turned, that was when it really started looking dreadful for Negan. You know, if Simon's not on your side, who is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
It's bad.
That's not
good. Very bad.
Now,
So I think Negan has a loyalty problem that I think is going to catch up with him sooner than later.
Could you frame it in a way where Negan is getting rid of some of the old guard and is bringing in the people that he feels comfortable around, that are going to, that he has a better rapport with, who are going to sort of like let Negan be Negan?
Sort of not like
all these people that are going to, that he doesn't see eye to eye with, people that are just more like-minded, that he feels comfortable with.
The problem there is that, like, there aren't really a lot of background saviors that will, like, step up to the plate and take on those lieutenant roles, I think. Like, unlike Rick's group, there isn't, like, a T-Dog or a Carol in the background who's suddenly going to become a main character for any length of time. A short length of time in the case of a T-Dog, and a long length of time in the case of a Carol. So, I don't know. I think that there's also, like, there's that problem in terms of just, like, the cast, in terms of the group of characters that we have even as recognizable entities within the Sanctuary storyline. Every single person to a person is anti-Negan right now.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
From the outside, certainly. Like, I think there's probably people that are like, Negan, we got him just where we want him. It's chaos in there. Yeah, it's every day is crazier than the next. Nobody wants to be around him. But Negan is probably like, Rick, if you only knew, this is a well-oiled machine here. I'm close to having my inner circle that I want.
Right. I like chaos. Ho!
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe this is exactly how he likes the Sanctuary, is he likes everyone thinking that it's in complete madness, but we're not giving him enough credit.
Right. And there's a lot of turnover, but, you know, look, he's still in charge of the saviors.
Yeah. We haven't gotten him yet. Like, we keep thinking that, you know, Rick Grimes is going to roll into town on his white horse.
That hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened yet.
This all-out war just keeps going and going and going. So
we're at the edge of our seats. So I don't know.
Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let me ask you, a lot of people were upset about Tara this week and how she would not forgive Dwight for what he did in killing Denise, and then a couple times tried to take him out. Matthew Murphy wrote in to say, Tara is really making a claim for the worst character on the show this week. She's almost an honorary member of the Clark family at this point.
Wow.
Matthew,
wow.
Take that back. Tara. I don't know what the show is doing with Tara.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what she is. She's like in the first episode of the season, she's like a hipster eating a lollipop with like silly glasses. And then
I like the glasses. I thought the glasses were good.
But now
you and I disagree on fashion, as we've come to learn.
Right. Now she's like trying to throw Dwight to his like death. He's gonna murder Dwight.
Look, I get it. Like, I get it. Dwight killed Denise, not the producer, you know, once upon a time, several seasons ago at this point. So Tara rightfully has a bone to pick with this guy. What I'm not into is so many people have acted out of like turn and have acted without, you know, really thinking through what the plan is at play. You know, even thinking back to Daryl attacking the Sanctuary in the first half of last season and how that caused all sorts of problems. And he still has not, he has not really gotten the good what for about that, as far as I'm concerned. Like, he's really due some kind of comeuppance. And I think that Tara is in a similar boat right now, where Dwight is on their side at the moment. He's a valuable resource. Yeah, you can hate him, you can be mad at him and all of that, but now's not the time to go running through the woods, shooting, wasting bullets at this guy when all of your friends are in the swamp doing swamp things. I don't know. I didn't like it.
She has a silencer, though.
I guess, but bullets are at a premium and they're on the road. And it's like, I don't know. There's a better time for this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Dwight, like, you should not have walked off with her. Like, you should have known what was coming.
Yeah.
So, like, let's not let Dwight get out of this one.
No, she picked him. She's like his commanding officer.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that Dwight has to be among the luckiest characters in recent Walking Dead memory.
Well, how many times has he flipped sides? I feel like since he's come on the scene, I feel like he's flipped sides like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like one of the flips where like you don't believe that he's really bad.
No, I think he's really, he's a mole.
Yeah, he's a triple agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how Dwight would stack up against some of the great 24 moles, but he's like the Gael of The Walking Dead. How about that?
Yeah.
Remember Gael?
Barely. Yeah,
he was on Fear of the Walking Dead.
If you say so.
He was. I'm saying so. It's true. Steve Davis, verify, bit fact.
Okay. And then Matthew Murphy has one other question, Josh. He talks about Aaron. Says, this is more related to last week, but Aaron was awful quick to stay at Oceanside. Didn't he just adopt a baby? Don't be adopting kids if you're just going to run off a couple days later. This is a good point.
That's brutal. Deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
What's up with Aaron's baby? Yes. Who has Aaron's baby right now?
I guess you could just collect babies in the zombie apocalypse. I guess it's just a lot easier. Like, you don't have to actually do anything. They just like somebody else will just be on it.
That's a terrible job. just generally, it's a difficult one. But in the apocalypse, I think that would be. That would be one of the worst jobs you could get.
Right? I mean, Maggie did look at that baby last week, and this leads us to this question from Trent. Is Maggie even a little bit pregnant?
Well, it's been a short period of time.
I know, but in all seriousness, we are going on 3 seasons now of Maggie being pregnant.
Yeah. And that's probably covered maybe 2 weeks of real time, which is a can of worms that we can open if you would like. But that would explain why we haven't seen much from Maggie in that regard. And that itself is just a massive problem with the show, that it is moving along at a crawl slower than the walkers. Speed up, yeah. Walking Dead. Go faster. Must go faster.
So the first, 5.5 seasons took place over, 3 years?
Yeah, and then Carl, had these magic mushrooms that turned him into a man.
Mm-hmm.
That just, accelerated his biological growth.
Yes. Judith has rapidly aged during this 2 weeks.
Yes, yes. Oh, she's really growing up. They get to Alexandria, and I think that they're in Alexandria for, a week or so before Morgan shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole first half of season 6 is a day.
Yes.
And then a couple of months, it seems like, passes between the first half of season 6 and the second half of season 6.
Well, there's a time jump in the second episode of season 6B.
Yeah.
6B. Yeah, right.
Right after
Carl loses the eye, there's a time jump, and that's and Rick and Michonne got together during that time jump. But since the time jump,
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's 2.5 seasons we're talking about. So yabba dabba doo. That's tough. Tough break. Show's just got to put its foot on the gas, I think, a little bit. Speaking of Carl, did you see Chandler Riggs's meme on Twitter the other day?
No, what'd he say?
He did the, you know how there's the meme of Rick and Carl from the episode where Lori died, and Rick is hunched over and crying in Carl's ear, and there's lots of dad jokes that have been superimposed over that image?
Yes.
Chandler Riggs did a version of that, except with himself. He posed on a red carpet and played the part of Carl, and then superimposed another picture of him from the red carpet doing the Rick part. And he was chastising himself for being so good at surviving in the universe of The Walking Dead for so long. He literally got shot in the face, and then he tripped over a log and got bit by a walker.
So he was talking smack.
Yeah, I think he was talking about
I guess somebody doesn't want to come back in a flashback.
Yeah, I think his life is fine.
No.
I think he's
but
okay.
Listen to this, Josh. So I Googled Maggie pregnant Walking Dead. And so the earliest reports that I see here are from back in, this is from an article from November 8th, 2015. And it is from a person named Samantha Leffler, who writes, after a few grim episodes of The Walking Dead, we finally got some great news in season 6, episode 5, now that Lauren Cohan is pregnant with Glenn Rhee's baby. Maggie Green, played by Lauren Cohan, is pregnant with Glenn's baby. So did they find out that, was that pre-time jump?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was the very long, very bad Jack Bauer-esque day of season 6.
Okay, so Maggie was pregnant then there was a time jump, and then it's 2 seasons later, and she's still not even like a tiny bit pregnant.
Yeah, because it's 2 months and like 2 weeks later.
So the time jump is only two months.
Yeah, it was a short time jump. It wasn't a big time jump. It was brief. It may have even been like a month. It's like, I know it was like some sort of kind of ambiguous length of time that was not much longer than a month.
Yeah.
So it's just that the show is moving real slow, real slow. That's the big issue. The big issue is that it's got like I think the human anatomy is fine and it's doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
The show, on the other hand, I guess is technically also doing its thing. It's just that its thing is kind of slow.
Okay. All right. So that was, I mean, that was 2.5 years ago that we found out on the show that Maggie was pregnant.
Better be a great baby, right? Like this baby better.
She's going to be
like,
off the show. Did you see King Ezekiel posted on Twitter? Like, pay the woman.
Yes, I'm Team Ezekiel. I'm Team Maggie. Go for it. Do it, AMC. Do the right thing. Mm-hmm. If only so we could actually meet this child. Come on.
Is that going to do the, are they going to like time jump and then, okay, Maggie died in childbirth, but now the baby is on the show?
God, no. They'll figure this out. They got to figure this out. I hope they figure it out. If they don't figure it out, they're in a world of hurt for so many reasons. It'd be so shitty. Okay. It'd be such a crappy thing, because clearly the show has been planning for Maggie to be very important to the show for a long time. And if they lose her because they're just not willing to pay what she is owed, that's just garbage. That will be worse smelling than the garbage people and the zombie gore all combined.
Okay, so we liked last week's episode. This week, we literally and figuratively got stuck in the swamp here a little bit with this one. What do you think the problem was that this was not having Rick at all in the episode? Do we need Rick to sort of focus the story a little bit?
I think that the problem is standard Walking Dead stuff, that there's 16 episodes in a season, and that's way too many episodes for any season of TV. And even if you're breaking it down into like 2 8-episode chunks, and so you're looking at the half seasons kind of as their own seasons, it's too much screen. It's too much time on screen to tell the story that they are trying to tell.
Right.
They really need. And it's never going to change. Like, this will always be the pace of The Walking Dead. I think that this is emblematic of what happens around this point in a given season of The Walking Dead, that you kind of just end up stuck in a swamp somewhere.
Yeah.
Where you're just like kind of like struggling to get through like a very tired, fatigued, belabored B storyline in a swamp filled with zombies.
Yeah. So this is The Walking Dead writer's room, where it's like they come in. And it's like, okay, all right, season 8B. All right, here's what we're gonna do. It's like, all right, we know Carl's gonna die. We know Rick is gonna meet up with Negan here. Okay, it's like, all right, now we gotta fill in the middle stuff. And this is just like, okay, this is just like, on this one, they'll be like walking to everybody goes to the hilltop. That's the episode. Like, okay, write that one. And, you know, it's sort of like that when we get stuck in between sort of like the tentpole episodes, this is what we get.
Correct.
Mishmash.
Yeah. I think that the writers like walked into the room that day and were probably just like exasperated. We're like, what is like the best metaphor for the situation that we are in right now? Stuck in the swamp of sorrows. Can we do that as an episode? Yeah. Literally fighting the nothing right now.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
the never ending story, The Walking Dead. It all works out.
Say my name.
Negan.
Time,
you're Negan.
Please.
You're Negan. Yeah.
We're all Sebastian. Negan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. The last bastion of hope.
Okay.
All right, Josh Wiggler, great job once again. Sorry, I hope we didn't get too dark here in the end. But like, yeah, you guys are still watching The Walking Dead in season 8, so you're probably in the same place.
Sorry, guys, I'm just a little tired today. a little triggered by the conjunctivitis, and I have some heartburn.
Yes,
I had tacos and it hurts.
Yes. So. Well, okay. Well, hope you feel better.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler wrote a interesting piece on THR this week about The Walking Dead, about his prediction for the next person to go on The Walking Dead. We actually touched on that a little bit on last week's feedback show. Is it a spoiler? It's speculation.
Give
people a second to get out of here if they don't want to hear. But it's not a comic book issue, right?
No. I mean, that's part of it, is that this isn't a comic book character. But I just think, you know, we talked about this again on the feedback show last week. I think that that Simon is not long for this world.
Yeah.
Which breaks my heart because Stephen Ogg is so great. But just the story seems to be trending away from him right now.
Yeah. Also, coming up on this week's episode of The Walking Dead, they showed a clip on The Talking Dead. There's a rather insane car chase coming next week.
You know I like it when Walking Dead gets into car chase mode. If we have another Fast and Furious episode on our hands, we might be trending upward.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, of course, be on the lookout for that. Jessica, Lisa, and I will be back with more Walking Dead recapping for episode number 12 coming up on Sunday night. Make sure you subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast feed for more. postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Or for all things post show recaps, go to postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Josh, anything else?
No, sorry. We missed the Game of Thrones podcast this week due to travel on my end. But we will be back shortly digging into episode 4. Of the very, very good season 3.
Okay. All right. So more on the Game of Thrones, more on the Walking Dead, all happening on Post Show Recaps. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.